Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and today we're going to start out with the quilting life. Doesn't that sound wonderful? You can just picture yourself in a nice chair with some stitching, and yet we all dream of the quilting life. Well, Sherry McConnell has made this a dream come true. That's the name of her site, A Quilting Life. She has a book that'll be coming out with the same title, and you are going to love her work if you haven't met her yet. Sherry has a beautiful color palette that she works in. She's also contributing author to Moto's Bake Shop's book called Sweet Celebrations. So I'm really happy to have her here. We're going to talk a whole lot of quilting. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
I am wonderful. You know, don't we all want to have the quilting life?
Yes.
Yes. So tell me a little bit about why you love quilting so much. What is your favorite part?
Oh, wow. I am just passionate about quilting, about every aspect. Growing up, my grandmother and my mom and other relatives, they were always making things. And I think that inspired me to want to make things too. And although I never, in the beginning, thought I would quilt. I remember telling my grandmother over and over, I don't think I'm going to be a quilter, Grandma. But, but luckily, one time I asked her to make a quilt for my oldest son, and and she said, no, I think I'll show you how to make one. And that was the beginning.
Do you find, I find that so many people make their first quilt for a child.
Yes.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like the power of love behind stitching something and giving it to a child.
Right.
I know you and I talked a little bit, and actually I saw you at the trade show last time, but you were like far, far away. And I was like thinking, do I run down the hallway and like do somersaults to say hi to Sherry or catch her later?
Uh-huh.
And, unfortunately I never saw you later, so I should have run down the hall.
Yeah, but I left a little bit early. I had to leave Sunday afternoon, so I wasn't there the whole time, but.
It's always crazy. It's always crazy. You see people, you have to grab them right when you do.
Yeah.
So when we were chatting, you know, by email, we were talking about, you know, picking colors and picking fabric. And you had some really wonderful thoughts about how we all look at the colors that we love. What do you tell people when you're working with them?
Well, first of all, I just tell people that I truly believe that this is something anyone can get good at with practice. I remember when I started out quilting, I used to take either my grandmother or my aunt with me. I was so nervous to choose colors. But I think over the years, just practice, I just really want people to know that you know, it can be a learned skill, I think.
Well, you know, that's really good encouragement, because I think some people, you know, I teach a lot of people as well, and I think sometimes people are like, oh, well, I'm no good at color. But, you know, they put their clothes together, they know what looks good.
Right.
Don't you find that when you start to show people how they already know what looks good, that they make a good decision?
Exactly. And I like to tell them, too, working with smaller projects, first of all, to try out a color palette before they make a big quilt is an excellent way to, you know, to practice and see how the colors are going to go. So
do you, like, suggest that maybe they use smaller groups of fabric or various shades of the same, like green or something?
Well, you know, the pre-cuts out that are... if you get a collection, I think that really does help you to start seeing, you know, because most collections have different colorways, and I think using one collection to begin with can be a great way to start learning how to put fabrics and colors together, and just the mixture of larger prints and smaller prints that are in a collection can help you get comfortable putting those together.
I think that's a good idea because most collections will have maybe two or three colorways within it so that you can actually play with it and pull it out.
Right. Right. And I just like pulling things and putting them on a table. And I don't remember who taught me this. I learned it somewhere along the line. But, you know, somebody told me just to stand back and look at your stack of fabrics. And if there's anything that you don't like from a distance, pull it out and find something else to replace it. And I do that a lot. I find taking pictures for my blog helps a lot, too, because I see things with the camera that I might not see in person.
Oh, that's excellent. I tell people that, too. That is so – you look at it and you're like, oh, my. That,
yeah.
Yeah. That does not go in there.
That's, right.
So you do. You also are a great photographer, so your blog has beautiful photos, which is aquiltinglife.com. One of the things, Sherry – is uh-huh. that you have done some projects for American Patchwork and Quilting, and we have one of your hexagon projects on allpeoplequilt.com. Tell me a little bit about that.
You know, the hexagon project started out, it was a bag, and I was looking everywhere for a pattern for a hexagon bag. I love hexagons, and I couldn't find a pattern anywhere, and I decided, well, I'll just make one, and that was actually the first thing that I ever submitted for publication was that hexagon pattern. And so it's been a lot of fun. I've taught it in several classes, and everyone always has fun making that project. So
it's a great handwork skill to know.
Yeah.
Because you can – do you have one in progress now? Do you always have a English paper piecing project going on?
I always do try to have some handwork going on. I have a hexagon quilt that might take me another 5 years to finish because they're 1.5-inch hexagons. And but I just go through my scrap bin every so often and get a bunch prepared, and I keep them in a little bag that I can just take with me if I'm going somewhere, or take if I'm watching TV to sit in a chair and work on them.
That's perfect. It's perfect. So tell me about your book that's coming out, A Quilting Life. How exciting.
Oh, I'm excited about it. There's a little bit of everything in it, actually. I talk a little bit about my quilting heritage with my grandmother and my great-great-grandmothers who quilted. And there are actually some photos of some of those antique quilts in the books that, you know, were made by my great-great-grandmothers. And then there are all sorts of projects, table runners, pillows, lap quilts, bigger quilts, just all different sizes of projects and all different types of projects. I had a lot of fun.
And do you keep, I know, like, following your blog, because I love to follow your blog, that you tend to work in a certain color palette. You know, you enjoy that color palette, like your farmer's wife quilt is, you know, sort of a lot of white, a lot of the clear colors. Do you stay with that in your book, the color palette?
There's a pretty good mix in the book, I would say. I do like to have some open space in my quilts, a place to rest my eyes. Mm-hmm. So most of the quilts do have some of that open space. Not all, though. I think I'm really loving to use text prints in open spaces.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm finding that gives me enough of a break to use those. But yeah, the color palettes are... there's kind of all sorts. There's a Christmas project in there and a 4th of July project in there. So, yeah, it's kind of a good mix.
Well, I can't wait till it comes out. When was it due?
It will be coming out in March.
Oh, March. Okay, so I have just a little bit of time. But you're also in Moda's Sweet Celebrations book. What's your project in there?
Yes, my project in the Sweet Celebrations book is a hometown summer lap quilt. Made with the Prairie Paisley 2 collection. Mm-hmm. And that was such a fun project, and I have to say it was so much fun going to market and meeting the other authors that were there too. That was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, probably people that you've been emailing with and,
right.
and reading their blogs. Yeah.
Yeah, that was so much. We had a good time when we all got together and got to meet. I wish everyone could have been there. So.
I know. It's like it's a crazy time of year. Can never get a big group together.
Uh-huh.
So you are also going to be doing some blogging at the Moda blog coming
yes.
up. Tell me about that.
That's been a really fun project. I'm going to be concentrating a lot on mixing fabric collections together. I find that when I point something out on my blog about a couple of collections that go together, I get so many emails saying, thank you for telling me this, or I didn't know those two collections would work well together. People love to hear about that. And then mm-hmm. I'm also going to be talking about which Bella solids go with which Moda collections. And that's another thing that I get questioned all the time. What background fabric did you use? What exact color is that solid? So I think this will be a fun thing to post about, and hopefully something that will help everyone.
I like that idea because it's people have these collections and they may not have even thought to put them together.
Right.
Yeah. I remember when I had my fabric last spring, I was right next to Vanessa Christensen, and our fabrics look so good together, but they're so totally different.
Right.
So, yeah, we just happened to be right next to each other in the booths. It was really fun.
Yeah, and that's what's so fun about it. Sometimes they are collections that you would never even think about putting together, and sometimes it's just luck that I figure it out. You know, like you said, they're sitting together on the shelf. And
mm-hmm. You're like, look at that.
Right.
Oh, Sherry, this has been absolutely wonderful to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I was so nervous, but you just made me feel so relaxed. So thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. You are so welcome. Everybody should go visit you at aquiltinglife.com. And then the Moda site for where you'll be blogging is modafabrics.blogspot.com. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you so much, Pat.
We'll be right back after this break. I'm your host, Pat Sloan.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Welcome back to the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. These collections are hot, hot, hot. Fig Tree is back with a new collection called Tapestry, which weaves together Greek and Moroccan influences for a beautiful result. We're mad for the plaids in the WeWoven's Brights collection. Next, pull up an Adirondack chair and enjoy the Ocean View by Paul Brent. And finally, Three Sisters delivers a delicious helping of double chocolate with scrumptious colors of dark chocolate, cherry, caramel, and vanilla bean. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the spin, twirl by me and my sister designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, hello, Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back to America Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I am really excited to talk batiks with Martingale author Cheryl Brown, who is a long armor, and her latest book is called Quilt Batik. And so I know she has some great tips for us. Plus, I know she has a tutorial out there about putting on your borders, and we're going to talk about that so you can have perfect borders. Hi, Cheryl. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you.
This is so fun to have you on here and talk a little bit about batiks. They're really, really wonderful. So many people collect them.
Yeah, a lot of people collect them. A lot of people aren't quite sure what to do with them.
Yeah. So how did you get into quilting first? Just a quick little, you know, did you always quilt?
Well, you know, I grew up under the quilt frames, as they say, but my mother quilted the old-fashioned way with the cardboard pieces and stuff like that. Mostly I learned modern quilting from my mother-in-law, Mary, and I've been doing it for, I don't know, about 20 years.
Right. So, wow. Have you long-armed the whole time, or is that fairly
No,
new?
I've probably been long-arming for about 8 years.
Okay, that's still pretty long, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So you are both a piecer and an appliqueer, because your first book was had applique in it.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I love to applique. Applique is very calming to me.
What method do you use when you applique?
I usually just use a basic needle turn. I know there's a lot of fun methods out there, the starch and some of that, but I just basically turn it as I go.
Well, you know, I like that too. It gets you right to the stitching part, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's no waiting.
Yeah.
So let's talk about batiks. What inspired you to write your book called Quilt Batik? It's got a great quilt on the cover.
Well, I actually, when I started quilting, my very first quilt, well, my very first real quilt, I should say, was with batiks, and I've just loved them ever since. And so I was just looking for some ideas of something to write about and kind of pitched the batik thing, and they liked it, and went from there. So.
Well, the front of it has a lot of really great information for people on what are batiks, you know. So can you just give a little overview of what they are versus a traditional cotton that quilters use?
Well, they usually use a little bit tighter cotton weave because of the way it's dyed, and they use a wax, kind of a metal template thing that they'll dip in wax, and then they dip it on the fabric. It's all done by hand. And then that's where the dye will not go. And then they'll put it in the dye vat and, you know, and they'll do that with different colors until they get the colors that they want.
So do you remember when you first started quilting, Cheryl, were most of the batiks, like when I remember when I first started quilting, a lot of the batiks didn't have images. They were just sort of beautifully modeled, whether it was multiple colors or just single colors.
Yeah, that's how it was when I started, too. They're all just kind of a modeled, textured thing. They weren't really into the patterns so much yet.
Right, and now the patterns are amazing. You can find anything.
Yeah.
Have you ever done batiking yourself?
I haven't tried it, no. I've done a little bit of hand dyeing, but not, you know, not using the wax method thing like that. So,
Yeah. So when you go shopping for batik, so personally, like for your collection, do you go with a project in mind, or are you sort of collecting so that you have a palette at home to work with? What do you do?
You know, I see one and I go, I love it. I have to have it. I wish there was a better method than that. But then if
that's
I get
pretty normal,
do,
I think, right? That's
yeah. Then if I get ready to do a project or, you know, think of something I want to do with one, then I'll go kind of match some more pieces to it.
So like in your book, batik, you have one that is a lot of black and white. Is that a batik fabric as well?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks more like a cotton, so it's interesting. It's a got like swirls and things on it.
Yeah, probably the photo does look a little bit more that way. It was a one of them was white with black and the other one was black with white, so there's two pieces of the black and white in there.
Ah. So are you mixing your batiks and your regular cottons?
You know, I usually don't. Sometimes I will if I'm appliquing with a batik. Sometimes I'll just use a cotton background. Usually I do all batik if I'm doing batik, though.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, what how you prepare it. Do you pre-wash your batiks? And because they're firmer, do you want to change the look at the, of them or the hand of them, the feel of them before you work with them?
I don't usually pre-wash. I've only ever had a problem with one piece in all the years I've been using batiks that ran. I've never, ever had a problem with, you know, the main manufacturers of batiks.
So. Okay. That's good.
Yeah,
I think
don't do
that's
a lot
it's
of
improved. Don't you think it's
used
to be you had to, because they're all hand dyes, and you had to be a little bit more careful. But nowadays, they've really got solid dyes.
Yeah, I haven't had a problem for, because that, the one that I did have a problem with was many years ago, so.
Yeah. Now, tell me a little bit about, we're going to talk about borders in a minute and sort of like intro into that. You have a gorgeous quilt with a wavy, a really pretty wavy border. What is, how did you handle, do you cut it, how do you handle wavy borders? You know, not wavy like in bat, it's a flat border, but you have a scallop. There's the right word, like a,
right,
scallop,
a scallop
on the outside.
Yeah. I use a little tool. It's called a, I wish I knew who made it. I don't have that with me right now, but it's a scallop, just a scallop maker, and you can kind of use a little bit of math and figure out how many you want per size.
Is it like a ruler? Like a scallop ruler?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I use that. You still kind of have to fudge a little bit. I've heard a lot of great methods for doing scallops. One is you can cut a piece of like butcher paper the length of your border, and then if you fold it however many times, then you can just cut the scallop.
That's
if
good.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So let's talk. Tell me your tips for getting your borders on. Your website is quilterchic.com, and you have a great little tutorial about borders.
Yeah. If you're just doing straight borders, you know, no miter or anything, if, like, say you're doing the lengthwise first, then you measure through the center of your quilt the measurement of the length of it. And then I cut my border to that size. And then if you fold, you'll fold your border in half and in quarters and mark those with a pin. Then you mark your quilt top the same way, the half and the quarters. Then you just batch up the pins, and sometimes you might have to, I don't want to say gather, what's the right word?
Ease it in.
Yeah.
Right.
But then you have a lot more square quilt, and then you'll do the same thing on the width. You'll measure through the center of the quilt, and then cut to length like that. And do the same with the marking of the pins.
So on your site, under the tab called Tips, it's you have this all with some really great diagrams, and it's called Border Patrol, that post. So
Yes.
And I like the diagrams because people, you know, they're so
It's a little easier to, than trying to explain.
Oh, no, you did very well. Yeah, I think a lot of us forget to do that sort of extra step. You know, we get all excited and we just stick on.
And the problem I have as a long arm quilter is you see, like, if someone has three or four borders, they will grow each border. So by the time you get to the outside to try and get that flat on your long arm can be really hard. So that's when people talk about wavy borders and
we don't want wavy borders. It's
it's not good.
So. It's not good, right? and so just another, do you have a tip for backings for people for long arm? We're almost done, but do you have one tip for putting your backing?
Long armors need probably at least 4 inches bigger, 2 inches all the way around. That's probably the least you need. That's probably the best tip, is just make sure you've got it bigger than the top.
Right. And sometimes people like a specific way, so mark where the top is. So
if you have special instructions like that, or need it centered, any of that, definitely.
Well, Cheryl, this has been wonderful. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me. It's been fun.
So everybody check out Cheryl Brown's website, quilterchic.com, and we'll be right back.
Win free stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos. We're back at the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. It's a great show, folks. Don't forget to mind your P's and Q's with Applejack, an alphabet-themed collection by Tim and Beck. Next, we're taking a journey to a whimsical land filled with cute critters, flowers, and sweet confections with Cherry on Top by Keiki. Hallelujah! The muted reds, navies, and creams of Old Glory Gatherings by Primitive Gatherings brings a nostalgic feel to the runway. And now, something for the men in your life. Trails End combines the beauty of fall leaves and wildlife. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics. Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. And now I must ask you, if you have been on the internet more than, 5 minutes, I'm sure that you have done a hop, a blog hop, just like you would do a shop hop. You know, you go from store to store in person. There are shop hops online that go and visit the stores that way, just like a blog hop might. And if you've been following the bunny, then you know all about Fab Shop, which is just a marvelous, marvelous way to find absolutely incredible new stores. So I thought it'd be really fun to have Lori Harsh on, who is the Fab Shop president and founder, to tell us a little bit about this. And with her is Jamie Guthels, who is a communications consultant to the Fab Shop business. So they've come on. We're going to talk about what goes on at Fab Shop. And then we also have a brand new Visit Your Local Quilt Shop Day, which is January 24th of this year. They've sort of spearheaded that whole effort. We're going to find out what that's about. So hi, Lori and Jamie. How are you?
Hi, Pat. How are you?
I am great.
We are so excited to be here today.
Oh.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, Jamie. So, Lori, tell me, why did you start Fab Shop? You know, what happened? You just woke up one morning and said, you know, everybody needs to have some fun?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we started in 1997, early part of the year, and we actually started as an organization for shop owners. I have a strong background in retail and that's, in the fabric industry. That's all I've done most of my life. And felt that there was a need for shops to connect more and share more. And so that was really the birth of Fab Shop. And as we started as a group, in year 2000, we decided, you know, the shop hops were so successful in local areas, and the internet was just emerging with everyone bringing their stores online, that wouldn't it be fun to be able to visit stores across the country via the internet? And that was the birth of the Fab Shop Hop and the Bunny.
And the Bunny.
And the Bunny. But the Bunny actually came about because our first hop was in April of year 2000. And so it was an Easter that year, and it was an Easter bunny. And but everybody loved the bunny and still loves the bunny, that we stayed with the bunny.
I think that that's great. The site is fab, F-A-B, like in fabric, shophop.com, for those of you who may not have found the bunny yet. So Jamie, tell me a little bit about what's on the site.
Oh, on fabshophop.com?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, yeah, Lori could probably speak a little bit more about that. But the idea is that, you know, several times throughout the year, people can sign up to do one of the shop hops. So, for example, right now we're running one January 1st through the 31st of 2013. And they can go on a, like, virtual shopping adventure. So they can go to the fabshophop.com, sign up to do the hop, and they can then visit all the shops that signed up. They can tour their website. And when they've found the bunny, so basically the shops that sign up to participate in the hop, they, like, hide the bunny somewhere. Mm-hmm. Think about, like, Where's Waldo. It's like kind of playing a Where's Waldo game. So they hide the bunny somewhere on their site, and they can go back to the main Fab Shop page and, you know, and kind of like claim their prize where they saw the bunny and enter to win a lot of fun giveaways and prizes. And probably Lori could speak a little bit more about that.
Yeah, Lori, you know, I've of course have followed your site forever. And, you know, I see that it's been really exciting to see how you've evolved, you know, from that first Easter, you know, shop hop. You have, you know, incredible things like, you know, blocks people can collect to make a quilt, and you have themes. Maybe you can tell me a little bit about that part.
Well, as you look for the You Found It Bunny, we in some of the hops do sampler blocks. There could be anywhere from 5, and I think we've done one hop that's had 17 blocks. And so those are kind of their bonus blocks. And as you find that You Found It Bunny, when you click on it, that's where you actually enter your email address, which helps us do some backside tracking so that you're eligible for the prizes. And at that point, you may have hit a bonus block. And what would happen would an image of a block would appear, and you could download that block at that point, or it gets saved into your member area where you can go back at a later time and download all the blocks that you have found. And as you visit from shop to shop, ideally, once you visited all the shops, you will have collected all the blocks that go to making that quilt. And then the following month in your member area, you would find the finishing kit that's available to go with that, with the blocks.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's sort of like a scavenger hunt of looking for the
blocks. Yeah, to a degree. To a degree.
Yeah. So what has been one of your most popular quilts that, I mean, do people share the pictures?
Oh, my goodness. One of the most popular. I'm going to say our celebration sampler. That actually had 17 blocks. Mm. It was done, the colors in it were pastel off of Three Sisters designs from Moda Fabrics.
Mm.
And people love that quilt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In fact, on FabShopHop.com, you can go to an area that's linked at the top that's called samplers, mm-hmm. and you can actually find the stores that have that sampler available. So as a consumer sharing the celebration sampler, if you were excited and you wanted to make it, you could find to where you could go and do that.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. It is, you have like lots of information on your site too. So it's really great. People can go there and look around and see. How often do you run these hops anymore?
We do 11 hops a year.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's just grown out of popular demand.
Yeah.
Every time that we would say, oh, we need to take a month off, mm-hmm. The amount of bunny email that would come our way said, oh, we just shouldn't be taking the month off. But we, our 11th hop is a staggered hop in November, December. We just can't, we can't handle the holidays plus the,
right.
the hop. So it is 11 at this point.
Wow. So let's talk about January 24th, Visit Your Local Quilt Shop Day. This was debuted at the trade show this fall. I was lucky enough to be contacted by Jamie to go and, you know, have my picture taken and say why I love local quilt shops. So how did this all start?
Well, actually, it started about a year ago for us. We saw a post on Facebook by Jason Yenner of In the Beginning Fabrics, and he mm-hmm. says, I hear that January 24th is Quilt Shop Day. And I said, what? I haven't heard about this. So mm-hmm. I picked up the phone, and I called Jason, and we had a nice conversation. He told me that he had seen it on a calendar. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, whose calendar? And I did a little bit of research and found out it wasn't really being promoted. It was, had just been put on a calendar. And mm-hmm. I said, you know, this is something that Fab Shop, both for the shops and for all those wonderful consumers that hop with us every month, we need to do something special for the stores. So that was really the birth of Visit Your Local Quilt Shop Day.
Mm-hmm. So, Jamie, what have you been doing to sort of organize this? Because you had a great production system set up at the trade show, so many designers and shop owners and different people could stop in.
Yeah, well, for the past few months, we've just been working with quilt designers and industry celebrities and bloggers just to get the word out, to get people mm-hmm. to put January 24th on their calendar and remember that day so that they will make a point of going to their shop and showing their support for their local quilt shop on January 24th. You know, people love holidays, and you know, mm-hmm. we want to show our support to local quilt shops year-round. But we really wanted to have one day where everyone could just shower their shops with kind of love and random acts of kindness and just support. And so that's, you know, we really kind of hung our hat around, you know, doing the promotions on January 24th. Shops around the country are participating. We have, you know, shops in Canada, the United States, Australia, the United Kingdom. I mean, you think of it, most of your English-speaking shops mm-hmm. are participating, and they're doing, a wide variety of things. Some shops are having, you know, special discounts and sales on January 24th. Others are offering, you know, special classes and demonstrations or, like, make and shares. Others are doing, you know, raffle giveaways and prizes. Hmm. And what we're really encouraging all the shops to do is host this photo contest that is part of our national awareness campaign mm-hmm. where people can take a photo of themselves in their shop mm. and upload it to our contest page mm-hmm. and be entered to win a $500 shopping spree to their local quilt shop. as well as a sewing machine from Brother International. It's a Project Runway sewing machine.
Ooh.
So that's really a fun part of our campaign.
I have to wave to my local shop. Well, she's not really that local, but she's my good buddy, Kelly Ann. Kelly Ann's Quilting in Warrenton. Hi, Kelly Ann. I'm waving to her.
So I'll wave to her, too. She's a great member.
I know. She's just down the road from me. And we try to have lunch a couple times a year. So I have to do a shout to Kelly Ann. So this is really great. Now tell me again where people take this photo that they've done and where do they put it to be eligible?
Yes. So there are three ways people can enter the photo contest. They can take a picture of themselves either with their mobile phone or with, you know, their regular camera, and they can upload it to the Facebook page. So our Facebook page is just facebook.com/quiltshopday. Or you can just go into Facebook and in the search bar, just look up Quilt Shop Day. You'll be able to find it. But we also want to make it easy for people who may not be on Facebook. There are two other ways people can enter the contest. They can upload a photo of themselves to either Instagram or Twitter. We know a lot of people are using Instagram now for photos. Mm-hmm. People are also tweeting photos a lot these days. So all they have to do is take a photo of themselves in the shop, or they can just take a photo inside their shop. They don't have to necessarily be in the photo. So people who are a little camera shy, they can take a picture of something that they really love about their shop. They can even take a shop picture of their shop owner or their clerk or something, right?
Right.
And then all they have to do is add the hashtag, and that's the little pound symbol, and the words, I love my LQS, all run together. So the pound sign, I love my LQS, if they put that in the caption for the photo, it automatically uploads to the contest page and they're entered.
So people local have quilt shop, midnight. LQ, yeah. I was just going to say, local quilt shop is LQS for those who aren't really sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the abbreviation.
Yeah.
And people have until midnight Pacific Standard Time on January 24th, so that's Local Quilt Shop Day, to enter the photo contest. And then after that, we'll open up voting on January 25th.
Well, Lori and Jamie, this has been wonderful to have you come on and tell us a little bit about what goes on at Fab Shop and the Visit Your Local Quilt Shop Day.
Thanks, Pat. It's really fun.
Yes. Thank you so much for the invitation. We really appreciate it.
Well, I enjoyed chatting with you and getting to hear the background and how exciting all the things are that you do, so that if people are new to quilting, they'll check you out.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. The Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show is about to start. First up, the exotic fabrics of Cusco by Kate Spain and Chant, with rich fuchsia, indigo, and orchid. Do you hear that? It's the ocean breezes coming from the Seascapes collection by Dev Strain. It's no mystery. You'll love the Get a Clue with Nancy Drew line. Hearts and flowers and houndstooth, oh my. Kissing Booth by Basic Gray brings romance to the runway. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases,
storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ Magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. That was pretty fun to find out about the history of the Little Bunny, where you're going to visit all the stores online. We love our quilt stores, don't we? So I have Leah Day coming back on the show now because Leah and I have talked, and I thought it'd be awesome to have her come back once a month and chat about some aspect of free motion quilting. And we're just going to kind of step through the entire cycle each month, picking a specific topic. And so this is going to be a great, great series of chats. And you know, Leah was on just a few episodes ago, and you got to know her there. So Leah, today I'm excited to have you talk about sewing machines and basting. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, thanks, Pat. I love talking about both these topics, so this is going to be fun.
Yeah, so, you know, everything has to start somewhere, you know, the whole process. You know, you've made the top, and, you know, I do think, you know, what should we do first? Let's talk about basting first. Let's talk a little bit about how to go about, you know, putting that top down. What is some of the important elements in your mind as to what a quilter needs to have for a well-basted project?
Well, I always start by taking the stretch out of the fabric, and that is simply starching the top that you've pieced or appliqued, and then also starching and pressing the back of the quilt. And that's just going to take any of that extra give and stretch in the fabric out of it. It's an extra step, yes, but whenever you put that quilt and layer it together, if the fabric's kind of going crazy and stretching and skewing on you, it's going to be really hard once you get it on the machine to keep it under control. Mm-hmm. So that's a number one. As far as tools I like to have on hand, I have a mess of pins.
Yes, pin lots boards. Of pins.
A lot of pins. I do not spray baste. I don't like that stuff. I mean, I know, and I completely respect the people that do. I think really quilting is open for anyone and whatever technique you like, but personally, I just don't like spray basting. So I use straight pins, just the clover flowerhead straight pins, and I bend them a little bit, and I cap them with a pin more. And that securely locks the pins in place. And I, you know, I use quite a few of those. It is an investment. The pinmores are kind of expensive, but, mm-hmm. you know, you get a set of them and then you use them forever. So it's kind of
okay.
the same thing.
So let's talk about this, these pins, because I'm sitting here with my mouth open because, you know, I've been pinning my quilts for a really long time. So, and I am a pinner primarily, although I have tried most methods, but I use a safety pin and I use a clip it to help me clip them. But you're using a straight pin.
Yeah, I actually used to use the curved safety pins exactly like you did with the quick clip to close them, and that worked great, and that's okay. But whenever you're going to free motion quilt your quilt, those safety pins can be pretty tricky to get off, right? Mm-hmm. And I was oftentimes forgetting to take them out and running into them, and they get all garbled up around my foot and stuff. So I found pinmores, that's PINMOORS, pinmores,
okay.
And it's basically a little silicone nugget. Okay, if you want to think of it as anything. And
yeah.
It sticks on the end of a straight pin, just any old regular straight pin, and it mm-hmm. locks there in place. So mm-hmm. you can use just your regular straight pins. I like the flower head pins because they're a little bit longer mm-hmm. and a little bit easier to stick inside of the quilt, and I
okay.
think that that's better. I just really kind of like that that extra length. I find it a little easier to get in there.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Do you have those like somewhere on your website at leahday.com that people could see?
Yeah, I do have the pin mores. I don't have the straight flower head pins yet, but I'm going to probably put those together in a kit coming up here pretty soon.
Okay. So people can go and look at that. So when you put the top down.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So like for me, when I learned a trick from a British quilter named Barbara Barber, who did a lot of really amazing quilts. I took a class with her and, you know, I based on a table. I don't baste on the floor, you know, cause I don't like mm-hmm. to get on my knees.
And,
right. I'm like, oh my gosh. So one of the things I learned from her was to clamp the bottom you know, mm-hmm. the backing to my table. So I use like clamps, but then I lay the batting on top and the top quilt top on top, and I don't remove my clamps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that nothing shifts.
Yeah, I do the exact same thing. I don't use, or I didn't use clamps for the longest time. Instead, I use elastic.
Okay.
So you have that 1-inch wide waistband elastic, and I had this giant spool of it my mother-in-law had bought me, and I was like, what am I going to do with this elastic? And I was using masking tape at the time, and it was just giving me fits. North Carolina is humid and muggy, and the mm-hmm. masking tape wasn't sticking. You know, I get one side secure and the other side be ripping up. And mm-hmm. I kind of looked at that spool of elastic and thought, oh, I can try that. So instead of clamps, instead of masking tape, I just take about a 45-inch long piece of elastic and loop it underneath the legs of my tables
uh-huh.
and bring it up to the top. And you just pin it to the elastic. You pin the elastic to the sides of your backing fabric in mm-hmm. place and kind of stretch it tight. It's not going to get, like, super stretched. You're not trying to, you know, contort the fabric or anything. You're just holding it in place. And then the wonderful thing is the elastic can be used over and over and over again, unlike the masking tape, which is pretty much done after one use.
Right, yeah.
Now, I did take Cindy Needham's Design It Quilt It class on Crafty, and she mm-hmm. showed the table clamps. And I got to say, I bought a set of those on eBay. I just mm-hmm. went to eBay and searched, what was it, camping tablecloth clamps on eBay, mm-hmm. and you'll find them. And those are really awesome, too. I really like those.
Yeah, and some people will say to me, well, can I use binder clips, you know, to clamp? Mm-hmm. And the problem with binder clips is often they're very, very tight, and you can't mm-hmm. open them wide enough for the edge of your table, depending on what kind of table you use.
Yeah, exactly. And anything that hurts your hands, you don't want to do mm-hmm. a lot of it. You know, if you've got a big
right.
quilt and you've got a clamp that's really painful on your hands, that's not going to mm-hmm. really work out all that great. That's why I like the elastic, and I like those camping tablecloth clamps, because I have the big, wide, the thick kind of plastic tables, and they fit on that real well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Now, I am not, the quilting part of it is not as deep a passion for me as it is for you, Leah, because that's, you know, really your thing. So, you know, I'm probably not as good of a baster in the way that I don't baste it to death. Do you baste your quilts closely?
It depends on the quilt. Yeah, it really depends on the quilt. A bed quilt, pins 4 inches apart is more than enough. You know, you put your hand down on the quilt, and so long as, you know, your hand's hitting at least one pin, then you're probably pretty good. Mm-hmm. For my show quilts, anything that has trapunto in it, anything that's had extra techniques that are, you know, making things puffy, making certain areas not puffy, that is going to create some issues. And you really want to put a lot more pins in something that, and maybe even machine baste it. You know, get it pinned and then stick it in the machine and do some straight line quilting. I like water soluble thread for that. Mm-hmm. Stitching over it water soluble, then you can just leave that thread in and it'll wash right out whenever you go to finish quilting.
Mm, just all these great tips. I haven't used that, the water soluble.
Mm. Yeah, if you're really desperate, sometimes mm-hmm. you can go to a long armor and have them do it for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I know, wonderful. I know. A lot of them offer that basting service. So
yeah. And the trick is making sure that they baste it in the water soluble, so then you just don't even have to worry about it. You just ignore it as you're quilting over it, and it makes it really, really easy to finish a quilt quickly.
Yeah, because some people say to me, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to thread baste, but if you're using regular thread, you're going to pierce that thread, and you're going to sew your basting threads into your quilt. And
yeah, you're going to have to stop and rip it out a lot, basically.
Yeah, that's annoying. We don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Now, you know, there's a couple other other ways to baste that people might try that I have tried. I have tried some of the fusible battings, so you don't have any pins.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a brand by Mountain Mist that I've used a lot called Gold Fuse, and I really like it. It's one of the only brands I've tried, though. So it's an option for people if they don't want to pin.
With any kind of new thing, you know, if you're sitting there, you know, listening to this and saying, gosh, I hate pins. I hate everything about them. I do not want to use them. Here's my advice. Get yourself a selection of products. Like, get together with some friends, maybe if you have a quilt guild or a bee that you're a part of, and if you've got a group of five people, each of the five people go out and buy something, you know, fusible batting, some spray-based, you know, mm-hmm. five different products. So you're sharing the cost. And then mm-hmm. get together and have a basting day where you just, you baste up maybe some fat quarters or some baby quilts. This could be a great charity project. And you try out these products and see which one you like. And you're there with your friends and you can kind of hang out and have a great time trying this new stuff out and mm-hmm. decide together what works and what doesn't. You know, if there's some stuff out there that's just nasty, yeah. stinks, smells, you got to be outside for it. You know, you got to figure that out. And the only way to figure that out is by trying it and experimenting with it.
And what works for one person will not work for another.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I know somebody, I've seen a video of somebody who like spray based the quilt while it's up on the design wall, which this totally fascinates me. Not something I personally would want to do, but I saw it once and I was like, wow, there's, yeah. you know, 800 ways to accomplish this.
There are no wrong answers in quilting. That's the ultimate truth.
No, there aren't. And, you know, you have, you have a class on free motion quilting at Craftsy. Everybody can get to that via leahday.com. American Patchwork and Quilting at allpeoplequilt.com has a lot of videos on free motion, on all kinds of different things. And when you go to allpeoplequilt.com, at the top bar, there's techniques, and then within there, you click machine. So you can watch. Sometimes it's worth it just to watch it, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just step back and watch some techniques. Try not to, you know, be judgmental. You know, I think so often we hear something like, you know, this thing is bad or that thing is bad or that's wrong. And we get very judgmental without ever actually trying mm-hmm. that technique or that product or whatever. And so I really encourage open-mindedness. You know, mm-hmm. we hear a lot of opinions, but we don't do a lot of trying and experimenting ourselves. So watch the videos, get some education, and play with this stuff.
Yeah, I really like the idea of having a group. That's fabulous.
Yeah, so, basting party.
Yes, the basting party. Yes, I love it. So you have a 2013 project going on. Why don't you tell us that before we wrap it up?
Yeah, well, I designed a goddess quilt. It's kind of a series that I've been working on since 2007. It's a series of goddess quilts. And designed one up just for the project. It's called Express Your Love. It's a really pretty girl, and it's all about expressing your love to your family, to yourself, to the world. So we're writing words inside this quilt. We're learning how to quilt multiple designs over the surface, and we're going to play with a lot of techniques. Just this week, we're going to learn quilt painting, what the effect is when you quilt, when you paint over quilted fabric and when you quilt over painted fabric. So a lot of really interesting stuff is going to happen this year on the Free Motion Quilting Project.
Well, Leah, thank you so much. Everybody should visit you at leahday.com. And next week, you're going to come back. Next month, you'll come back and we'll talk about machines.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques.